Mr. Wolf.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Robert Wolf, and I represent Robert Gilbert in this matter. Mr. Gilbert, as you know from reading the briefs, is a tenured teacher with High School District 211. They sought his discharge. They brought charges to do that. Mr. Gilbert, under the Illinois School Code...
But now, what I understand, so after these proceedings in the state court, now, you filed some kind of petition to reopen the administrative matter, didn't you?
Well, what we had asserted to the court on remand, to the Circuit Court of Cook County on remand, was that the fact that
Did you file some sort of petition or something, or what?
When you say a formal petition we did ask the court formally to send the matter back to the Illinois State Board of Education to reconvene the hearing that was only halfway over.
And what did the court do?
What the court did was gave the defendants the option of doing it if they wanted to.
Then did you go to the board and ask it to?
We did.
And then what did they do?
They said, "Well, we understand that Mr. Gilbert. They're concerned that Mr. Gilbert hasn't been afforded all his rights, but we don't think we're going to do it."
Well, could you be a little more precise? Did they issue a ruling?
No, they issued a letter. Well, actually, they just said they weren't going to do it.
They sent you a letter, said no
right.
reopening. Is
right.
that right?
That's correct.
Then what did you do next?
Well, then we came here because there was basically nowhere else to go in the state
system.
Well,
you went to the district court, presumably.
Well, of course, Your Honor, yes. That's right. We went to the district court because...
Why didn't you seek a review of that administrative ruling?
Well, it technically wasn't... It wasn't a formal administrative ruling as they usually seem to come down.
Yes,
in other words,
I know, but if they send you a letter and they say, we're not going to... There are procedures in Illinois law by which you could get that reversed, couldn't you?
Well, except that we had been to all those places
already.
Well,
I know, but that suggests... Does that mean that exhaustion would have been futile?
Well, one, I think exhaustion would have been futile. I think the record is clear that exhaustion would have been futile.
But then why doesn't it mean that, you know, your claim has been completely rejected?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. First of all, I don't think that... I believe the
I mean,
Supreme
the,
Court has said that...
The Illinois Appellate Court ruled against you in a way that suggests you had absolutely no chance. Then it goes... They're reinstating the termination order. Then you go back to the state court, and it says, no, go away. So that's it, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that...
But they reinstated...
How you restart this in federal court.
But they reinstated the termination without reinstating the termination. I mean, what the court said was the discharge is reinstated. If you look in the dictionary, if you look at case law, if you look at anything describing what the term reinstate means, it means put it back to where you found it. That's not what happened in this case.
If you think that's what the state judges did, why did you sue all the state judges?
Why
did you sue the state judges? The problem you have in this case is that when you sue the state judges, you say the state judges are the cause of my injury. And as soon as you say that, the next two words in sequence are Rooker and Feldman.
Right.
Right. So your claim seems to rest on the state judges having caused the problem. And if that's true, Rooker-Feldman bars this suit. If, on the other hand, the state judges really just said, go back to the beginning, reinstate it, they didn't bar the continuation, I don't comprehend how the suit against the state judges is other than malicious prosecution.
And that's why we haven't pursued that. I mean,
What do you mean pursued it? Sued people.
Sure, we dropped that claim.
On your current story, was a complete misuse of federal process.
Well, I don't think it was a misuse of process to the extent that if the claims were allowable, I mean, if the judges had in fact overstepped their bounds.
So, do we believe you now or do we believe you then?
We came to our senses, realized that there would not be a viable claim against the judges, and we are not pursuing that now.
Could I come at this a somewhat different way? It seems to me that after the Illinois Appellate Court or after the Cook County Circuit Court and so on, after everybody decides that this termination is going to be reinstated, and it goes back to Judge Hall, and she issues the order that you're just now talking about, saying that the State Board may, if it thinks it has the authority, reconvene, but she appears to think that there may be some question about that. That's a ruling of a state court judge. And if it's anything, it's a ruling that you don't have an absolute unqualified right to have the hearing reopened. Her opinion would have said something different if she thought you had an absolute unqualified right to have the proceedings pick up where they left off, right? That's your whole complaint here.
Sure.
So my issue is, I don't see how the district court could have overturned her conclusion with respect to that without bumping into Rooker-Feldman, without in effect serving as the appellate tribunal over Judge Hall's last ruling in this case.
Well, I think that situation, I think the answer to that is found in, I think, an unpublished decision called Wells versus City of Chicago. In that case, which Judge Easterbrook was a member of the panel,
you're now sinking farther into quicksand. First, unpublished opinions don't have any precedential force. And second, it makes no difference who's on the panel in any particular case. Opinions speak for the court.
And I understand that, Your Honor.
Why are you making an ad hominem argument?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I did not realize I was doing that. But it seems the facts of that case, where the City of Chicago authorized the demolition of a building, and the court held that Rooker-Feldman did not apply because it did not mandate that the building be demolished, and so Rooker-Feldman didn't apply as to the decision as to whether or not to implement the order in that particular fashion. That seems to me very similar
to
this case here.
At most, I think you're fussing over this notion of the word reinstate. And if they just said, you know, you've got no, which they did say, they said you had no claim. Then they say reinstate. And if they, it's just that choice of the word is all you have, all your case is about.
They said that, that there was no violation of the...
They didn't give you any light. They didn't show you any chance.
There's
nothing
point
in their opinion that would lead the state board to reopen.
No, I would, well, except that we never had a chance to put a case on.
Well, see, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt as far as I can. If this had been a case in federal court and it had gotten to trial and the plaintiff had put on her evidence and then there's a Rule 50 motion for judgment as a matter of law, which we'll assume is granted to make this analogous. And it goes up in appeal, and the Court of Appeals says it was wrong to grant the Rule 50 motion at that point. I think what you imagine should have happened in your case would happen. At that point, there is no judgment. It goes back for whatever appropriate trial proceedings there are, including the opportunity of the defendant to put on its case. It just goes back and there's now a full trial. And I understand that your complaint is because Mr. Gilbert moves halfway through, following this analogy, whatever it is he might have said in his own defense isn't said because he's prevailed initially on the inadequacy of the administrative complaint against him, or whatever I ought to call this. But then there's a question that you have about whether the state of Illinois is entitled to take the position that it's at least offered enough process for Mr. Gilbert. He didn't have to make that motion halfway through. He could have alerted the court that he didn't think it was enough, but said, I'd like, you know, subject to that, to put on my case. I'm not sure why federal due process requires exactly the pattern that you're talking about.
Well, I'm not sure it requires exactly the pattern, but somewhere along the way, it has to give Mr. Gilbert an opportunity to put on his case.
Well, he did have an opportunity to put on his case. He chose not to by moving when he did in the middle of the hearing.
Except now, Your Honor, we're getting into an area of disputed facts on the record, because what was also on the record below is the fact
that's not disputed, is it?
Yes, because
we had dispute that Mr. Gilbert had an opportunity to put his evidence on?
No, what we dispute is the
chose not to do it, as Judge Wood said.
We chose not to do it, subject to the understanding that we were reserving our right to put on a case. I mean, we made that under the administrative record.
Allow that.
Pardon?
Maybe state law just doesn't allow that. Maybe state law is, if you have the opportunity, you do it then.
There's no indication that that is state law, and there is no state law that we found that said that.
Except the decision of the state court in this very case.
Except this case, which is why it's so.
State law is, you look and see what state courts say it is.
Well, except that the state court never said, again, they reinstated the discharge. And you're, yes, Judge Posner, we are not quibbling, but, I mean, we think it's very important that the judge, that the court did use the term reinstate.
I don't understand, because when you read their opinion, I don't see where they give you the slightest hope for anything.
Well,
in fact, they go farther than the state board, isn't it?
Right, and they did it without giving us an opportunity to present
our side.
Well, too
bad. I mean, so what? That means maybe it's a wrong decision.
But isn't that also the essence of due process?
No, because what you're saying is that because the Illinois Supreme Court denied your petition for review, is that right?
That's correct.
Well, you say that because the state courts haven't given you justice, you can challenge a state court decision in a federal district court.
Not
right?
Just
a
matter of
justice. That's the core of Rooker-Feldman.
It's just not a matter of justice, Your Honor. It's a matter of an independent obligation on the part of School District 211 to make sure that Mr. Gilbert has that full hearing before his property interest
but
is terminated.
Apparently the Illinois court system doesn't think he has any right to a hearing. And that's in the Illinois appellate court decision. And you're really asking the district court and now us to review that decision, say they're wrong. They should have given you more opportunity to present evidence.
But I don't think that Illinois process or the Illinois courts can abridge Mr. Gilbert's federal rights.
Right, exactly. And you're asking us to say that Illinois appellate court decision is wrong.
No,
In a sense, you're asking us to say because Illinois doesn't operate its equivalent to Rule 50 in these administrative hearings the way the federal courts do, it's fundamentally flawed because he lost the opportunity to put on whatever evidence it is he might have put on in the second half of this proceeding.
What we're saying is that regardless of what the courts did, the courts didn't terminate Mr. Gilbert's property interest. District 211 did. It was the obligation of District 211, not the courts, to provide him with due process. And regardless of what happened course of the process.
It's where I lose you. I don't think you're catching the drift of Judge Wood's question. Suppose Federal Rule 50 said expressly, if you make a motion in mid-trial rather than waiting until the end of the trial, you waive your right to put on evidence, and the court will rule on the sufficiency of the evidence at that point. Do you think that version of Rule 50 would violate the Constitution?
No, because it would at least have put someone on notice.
Well,
we're
in a position where the Illinois courts think that's the rule in Illinois. Now, they may be right or they may be wrong, but they think that's the rule in Illinois.
Except we don't even know that they think that because...
That's because you never tried to take an appeal from Judge Hall's second ruling
to
the Illinois courts and ask them.
Well, we thought we'd be asking them the same question that they already, for
but
some reason, refused to answer.
But it was a different question, clearly. It was a different question than what you were doing when you were trying to address the merits of the termination versus reinstatement decision.
Except that we had specifically
evolved.
We had specifically asked for clarification from the courts, and for some reason they just refused to do it. And so that is why we sort of thought it would be futile to go back to people who weren't going to talk to us in the first place. So I see my time is up. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Mr. Post.
May it please the court, my name is Gerald Post. I'm an assistant attorney general of the state of Illinois, and I represent all of the defendants except the local school district, District 211. And I think we need not get beyond the fact that the state courts, of course, have ruled against him, and we don't go to the federal courts to review the state court action, but I could just briefly explain how
federal courts will review state court decisions. It's just that it's not this federal court. Right. After the Supreme Court of Illinois denied the petition to review, Mr. Gilbert could have sought a writ of certiorari.
Exactly. That would be the answer. Just as background with respect to Illinois law versus the Rule 50 procedure, the regulations that govern a 2412 procedure, this is Section 5160 C12, specifically requires that the hearing officer get evidence from both parties. In fact, in subsection E requires, before concluding the hearing officer shall inquire of all parties whether they have any further proof to offer or witnesses to be heard. If they fail to do that, subsection 5180 requires parties to object within writing to the hearing officer or to the State Board of Education within 10 days, or it's deemed waived. Given that context, Mr. Gilbert's decision to ask for a directed verdict, to ask for closure of the record, must have constituted a waiver of this right. Now, that goes to whether the state courts are right or not. I don't think we need to get there. I think clearly Rooker-Feldman precludes reviewing this issue. The alternative rationale or explanation of what the meaning of the reinstatement, the termination, might mean is contrary to the words used by the appellate court and also had been offered to the circuit court on the second go-around with Judge Hall, rejected by Judge Hall.
I wondered, looking at this rather equivocal order that Judge Hall issues on the remand, where she says the state board may reconvene if it's in the mood, the hearing, is that something under Illinois law that would be an appealable order? Would there have been any way to obtain review of her conclusion that this was simply a discretionary matter for the state board rather than a legal compulsion?
From the state's perspective, I don't think the state would be able to appeal from that. Clearly, Mr. Gilbert would have been able to.
You think Mr. Gilbert could have taken an appeal consistently with the rules that govern appeals in Illinois courts?
Because she ordered the reinstatement of termination, not based on this aspect of it. And I do think the statement or the complaint alleges that she said something along the line, the state board might be able to do something if it thinks it has authority
to do that's
so.
That's what I'm wondering.
Right. And that, no, there's does not create any rights or I don't think that aspect of it would be appealable.
But you think the bottom line of what she said on the remand was the reinstatement is confirmed or something, and that would have been an appealable
Mr.
order.
Gilbert could have appealed that on the
and
basis.
And at that time, he could have said, this is flawed under the Due Process Clause because I never had a chance. And then he would have said waiver or whatever. I mean, it could have been.
In fact, he had raised due process even at the petition for rehearing before the appellate court prior to this time. I think he would also have a theory that perhaps Judge Hall was misreading the appellate court's direction to reinstate the termination. I think that probably would have been a basis for appealing it if, as he suggested, this court, the appellate court, really meant reinstate the process rather than the termination itself. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that suggestion just simply doesn't work here.
What kind of transcript is kept of these hearings? Would it be possible to know whether this sequence that you just described from 5160 C12 and so on happened, the administrative officer saying, I want evidence from both parties, and everybody saying it's okay?
Yeah, the transcript was not part of the record before this court, but the rules do provide that a transcript be made, that there be a court reporter at these proceedings. That's also in Rule 5160. I cannot recall the subpart at this point in time. Rooker-Feldman, I think, clearly controls this as an attempt to overturn and to reestablish his property right in his teaching position, which is contrary to what the state courts ruled here. Even if that were not the case, I think the preclusion would apply here. He did raise the due process issue before the appellate court and lost on that issue. I really have nothing beyond my briefs to explain on this, so if there are no further questions for me, I will turn it over to the School District 211's counsel for the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Port.
Thank you.
Ms. Siegel.
May it please the Court. My name is Elaine Siegel, and I represent the Board of Education of Township High School District 211. And the school district respectfully submits that, assuming arguendo that the federal court did have jurisdiction over this case, that Mr. Gilbert's complaint's dismissal should be affirmed on grounds of Rule 12b-6, excuse me, that it fails to state a claim. Mr. Gilbert complains, in essence, that the remand of his case with directions to reinstate the dismissal deprived him of due process.
Why are there two briefs in this case? I mean, why are you in the state? Why are you in the state file different briefs? You don't disagree with them about anything, do you?
No, we don't.
Well, what's the point? Why not have one brief?
I apologize if that inconvenienced the court, but we believe that there were...
Inconvenience? It seems like a waste of money, though, to have two briefs that, you know, in the same case, on the same side, unless there's some antagonism or there's you feel that, you know, it wouldn't let you put in some great arguments if you filed a joint brief. But it's not a big deal. I'm just wondering why.
We believe
people on the same side of a case would automatically or routinely consider whether they could file a joint brief rather than file separate briefs.
We did discuss that, Your Honor, and we felt that there were separate issues, that the school district had different issues to some extent from those that applied to the state.
Well, they make the same argument about 12b-6. They make it very briefly, but I didn't sense that there was an actual disagreement about the grounds that might be advanced.
No, there was no disagreement.
Okay. Well, it's not important. I'm curious.
So Mr. Gilbert, in his complaint, contends that there was a bait and switch. He doesn't identify in his claim, in his complaint, any rules or any law of Illinois that the appellate court rewrote, as he puts it in his complaint. Instead, it's clear that the court followed the Illinois rules as they were written. There is nothing arcane about Illinois administrative law in this area. Illinois law does not provide...
Why did the court use that term, reinstate, the source of all our troubles?
Well, my understanding, Judge, is that he used this language, or that the court used this language, because under the school code, section 2412 of the school code actually addresses the form of the judgment that occurs where the teacher prevails. You reinstate the teacher to employment. And my understanding of what the appellate court was saying here is that the code is silent as to what you call the judgment on behalf of the school district.
Well, it's called affirmed, I would think.
Well, but they weren't affirming either the trial court or the state board of education hearing officer. And on appellate review, what the appellate court is looking at under Illinois law, they're not looking at the decision of the trial court or the decision of the school district.
Did you say this is not arcane?
Not if, like Mr. Gilbert's counsel and myself, you've been practicing school law for a couple of decades. No, I think it's pretty straightforward, Judge.
I've never seen this use of the term reinstate. I don't know, man.
Of course, if Mr. Gilbert believed that Judge...
Well, what exactly was the appellate court doing it was reviewing a circuit court decision, right?
No, it was reviewing the decision of the hearing officer. And the rule is clear that it's the law is clear in Illinois that you review the decision of the hearing officer and not the decision of the trial court.
Why didn't it say enforced or affirmed?
I think it was just trying to track the language of the school code that talks about reinstatement of the tenured teacher, and then there's no language.
So Aesopian about it. It's one thing to reinstate a person, but reinstate a discharge?
Of course, there was an appeal that immediately lay from Judge Hall's ruling. If they felt that Judge Hall had incorrectly interpreted the appellate court ruling, it came down with directions, and the only jurisdiction that the court had was to implement that reinstatement of the dismissal. Now, if in fact that meant that he was free to go back to the State Board of Education, what he needed to do, instead of going down to the State Board of Education and trying to persuade it without a mandate from the court in hand, it needed to take an appeal. He needed to go back to the First District Appellate Court.
Is this an open question or what?
No, sir.
But you say Illinois law is clear, but apparently by using this term reinstate, the appellate court created an issue about whether he could go back to the board or not.
I don't believe that, but if he believed, if
what,
Mr.
Gilbert... He had no right to go back to the board. He was finished when they said reinstate. Is that your view?
It's my view that the State Board of...
Answer my question. Is that your view?
Yes, sir. That the State Board of Education correct...
No, don't restate. Is it your view that when the appellate court said reinstate, that means he was through? He had no further administrative or other remedies. Is that what the court meant? It's a really simple question. Really simple.
That is my interpretation of it. Yes, that's my interpretation. That's the school district's reading of what that means.
But you're saying if there is some doubt, he could have sought judicial review.
Yes, that's right. In his complaint, Mr. Gilbert does not indicate anything that the appellate court changed, that the trial court changed. He does not indicate any departure from the code as it's set forth. And I draw the court's attention to the decision of the First District Appellate Court in its 2002 decision in Board of Education versus Spangler, where the court states emphatically that the usage of the term final decision in Section 2412 of the school code, which gives rise to these proceedings, quote, with reference to the hearing officer's determination, a final decision is one which leaves nothing open to further dispute and which sets at rest a cause of action between parties, one which settles rights of parties respecting the subject matter of the suit and which concludes them until it is reversed or set aside. It goes on to quote Black's Law Dictionary. Final is defined as last, conclusive, decisive, definitive, terminated, completed. The school code regulations promulgated by the State Board of Education similarly says the decision is final, and it repeats in several different ways how the parties are to be reminded that the case is concluded.
But I will just remind you that the problem is, in part, that Judge Hall used language that wasn't from this long list from Black. She said, oh, you know, well, you know, you can either do this or maybe you can go back to the school board and ask them for some more. There's a vagueness to what she said that I think has bred some of the problems that we have here.
I think that, and I was there, I believe that Judge Hall was very frank. She said, I don't understand what happens at this point, and the Illinois State Board of Education has more expertise than I do, and if they believe that they have jurisdiction, they're free to exercise it, and if they don't, they don't. So I don't believe that Judge Hall's statement from the bench, her dicta concerning what she felt the scope of her authority was, in any way created some kind of superior rights that Mr. Gilbert was then free to exercise. And if he felt that he had the, and I don't read the law that way, but if he felt that that order gave him authority to go to the State Board of Education, he could have gone, he could either have appealed it to the appellate court again, or he could have brought an administrative review action from the State Board of Education's refusal to reinstate, or a mandamus action.
Right.
Thank you, Ms. Siegel.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Wolf? You probably have 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, there is no requirement under Section 1983 to exhaust administrative remedies. Second, if the issue is a deferral by Judge Hall to the State Board of Education, then one of the decisions there before you is a decision of an administrative agency and not the court, and that is not subject to Rooker-Feldman. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.